Are you ready for the final week of I Found a Treasure in the Lord? I can't hardly wait to share the information that's going to flow from the throne, the heart of the Father, through His Word to you. It's going to bless your life. And I'm so glad you're here. Let's pray. Father, we're not here to check out a preacher or a personality. We're here to encounter you. And the real measure of what takes place is not how many hundreds of people are here, but do you meet us in a way that's transformational? And Father, I just pray that the next 25 minutes will be historic in our personal journeys. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. When I was 15 years old, I come to grips with an audacious statement of Jesus. And this verse is not on the screen, but you know it. 15 years of age, and I read it, Matthew 6:33. If you dare to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these other things. Somebody say, all these other things. All these other things will just fall in place. And I'd seen so many at age 15 go the other way and throw their life away and go down wrong trails because of friends and peers who were kind of pulling them that way. And I remember as a 15-year-old saying, I know I can't always make His kingdom always first in every moment of my life, but I'd like to give it a shot. I'd like to give it a shot. Here I am at this stage, and if there's anything I would like to echo into your world, is this verse is really legit. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then just watch things open up for you in amazing ways. That's why when we turn to our master verse of this series, Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, we understand what the Lord is talking about. He said the kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like a man or a lady that in their life they discovered underneath the surface of living there was this spectacular treasure called the kingdom of God. And once the beauty and the splendor of that treasure began to reflect into their soul, the person said, I don't care what I have to do, I've got to make this treasure the priority of my life. No matter what it costs me, and my heart is troubled today that we have Catholic churches shut down on a Sunday morning because of the threat of terrorism. God help the spirit of murder and terrorism be diminished in the world and the spirit of unity and peace come to our nations. Can you say amen to that? But the Bible says this treasure is so profound that you see it and you've got to go for it. And when you do and you make that treasure number one, things start falling into place. Now, in recent weeks, I want to have a little review. We discovered that when you lay your hands on the treasure of the kingdom, and I want to explain the kingdom. The kingdom is the rule of God. It is the will of a benevolent Father. Isn't it amazing that God Almighty says in His Word, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. His mercy, His riches, His blessing, His wisdom, His goodness, it pleasures Him when His people get down and say, I want to get His rule in my life. You don't have to be afraid of the rule of God. You don't have to be afraid of a mean God. He is a holy God, but you don't have to be afraid of Him. And as we've reached for that treasure in weeks past, this is what we found. One week we found, we get our identity given to us when we touch the treasure. We found passion and an energy and a meaning for life that came. One week we studied that we have hope, just a spirit of hope beyond others who are without Christ that comes into our life when we touch that treasure. And then last week on Resurrection Sunday, we talked about discovering real life, not just existing, but finding real life when we line ourselves up to the reality of an empty tomb. But on our final day of studying what happens when we touch the treasure and hold the treasure, It's like a wonderful, wonderful fringe benefit. And I'm not talking today out of a speech that I've written or a sermon that I had to write. I'm preaching out of my life and what I've discovered. And I can't mean this any more than what about you here. When you lay your hands on the treasure of the kingdom of God, and you start making His will and His ways and His plans and His purposes your number one priority, the moment you do that, you can look around and look at the other people that are reaching for the same treasure. And when you dare do that, you have found the source of the greatest pool of friends you could ever hope to find. I'm telling you, the best friends I have, and not all my friends are Christians, and not all my friends are kingdom seekers, but in digging for the kingdom, I've met a guy here and a lady there, and I've met some people here, and these people on bended knee reaching for the kingdom become some of the greatest friends you could ever hope to have in a lifetime. They're incredible, and I want to tell you why. It's because even though they may be different from you in a lot of ways, different personalities and different upbringings, raised in a different culture, just the fact that they value the kingdom means internally inside them they have some strands of interior values that are common. You're reaching for the kingdom, they're reaching for the kingdom, and the things that they see precious are the things that you see precious. And understand this. Everybody that you meet digging for the treasure, they don't have a full kingdom development in their personality. I mean, some people have more kingdom values in this area, and it's really thin here. And some people have a thin core stream of this kingdom value, and they're kind of weak there. So don't ever think all these people are just got it all together that's seeking first the kingdom. But what happens is, as these people around you and as you yourself reach for more of the kingdom in your life, these eternal values start growing in you, and one of two things happen. Either as you reach for them, these eternal kingdom, biblical, Christ-like values are growing in you and them as the kingdom gets larger, or they diminish if the kingdom gets out of reach. So if this person that was your friend starts letting the world and the dirt of our culture cover the glory of the kingdom, then these streams weaken. But as you and they reach from, they grow and grow, and these relationships gets richer and richer and richer and richer. The kingdom of God is the greatest place to find the treasure of friends. Because when you find the treasure, you find friends. And when you find friends, that is one of the greatest treasures you could ever hope to find. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I have met a lot of people, and I'm going to describe a few of them that I've met in the Word of God. In fact, I could probably preach this message for weeks going through the Word of God and introducing you to kingdom virtues and friends I've met around this treasure trove. But the one I want you to meet is someone that I was digging the treasure, and I met them. They had a tape measure on them. And they had a magnifying glass, and I was kind of, man, that's kind of intriguing. And I kind of noticed as they were digging and I was digging, and I want to introduce to you my friend, the merchant. The merchant. The Bible says the kingdom of God is like a merchant who had a tape measure and some binoculars and a magnifying glass, and he or she were these people who really had an eye for value. They really had an eye for the quality and the authenticity of a product. You can't make it in business if you don't understand value. You got to go buy something. You got to put it out on the on the table and you've got to sell it. So the kingdom of God, there's people here that understand genuine value. Like, what I'm trying to say, if people in the kingdom have a real eye for things that are really valuable, the Bible says here, it says the kingdom of God is like a serpent looking for pearls. One of the great things that you need to realize about finding your friends around the kingdom of God is that in the kingdom, there is a high value placed on what is real and authentic. And that's one of the things that churches across America really have to overcome. Because a lot of times people don't want to come to church because they think, you know, I got to put on a show to go to church. If people really knew all the junk that was going on in my life, they would like push me aside. But that is so opposite of reality. The reality is this, that in the kingdom of God, we value authenticity and we value what is real and we value what is sincere. And you don't have to fake going to a church where people are really honoring God in the kingdom because we value just being real with one another. We really do. I remember I was in Birmingham and this shock jock radio disc jockey lady came in one day and I preached a simple message and she was just weeping at the end of the service, just weeping because she said the most vile things on radio all day long. And she said, I've driven by this place and I just wanted to come in. And she accepted the Lord that day, and she said, Pastor, I don't deserve to be in this church right now. I deserve to have this church on top of me, crushing me. Can I tell you what happened? She got so on fire for the Lord that she left that shock jock radio job, and she became the voice of Christian radio on WDJC in Birmingham, Alabama. And every day people heard her leading people into the... Come on, give the Lord praise for that, because you can be real. Now, I want to share a verse with you, and I want to explain to you. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 says this, our love must be sincere. Sincere. Don't you love people that are sincere? Don't you love people that are genuine? Merchants are people who know if something is fake or it is real or valuable. And around the kingdom of God, we give people opportunity to be real and authentic. The word sincere here is a very intriguing word. Brett was speaking a while ago and talking about true worship is Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3, offering your body a living sacrifice. And this is the verse that follows that. It says, keep it right there. Keep it right there. Romans 12 and 9, let your love be sincere. The word sincere comes from a word which means to be without wax. What in the world does it mean? It says, let your love be without wax. What does it mean? Ask a merchant. Because in ancient times, there were some vendors that would take vessels and clay pots that were cracked, that weren't really quality, and they would take those cracked pots and they would fill the damaged area with wax, Bondo, putty, and then they would paint over all the cracks and they would decorate all the cracks and then they would put it out on the table and sell it as if it was flawless. But the merchant that was really had an eye for value and sincerity would turn that vase over in his hands. He said, ooh, that's been bondoed. That's been puttied. That's a crack. And it's just filled with wax and paint. But the beauty of the kingdom of God is this. You don't have to worry about your cracks. You don't have to hide them. You don't have to put a coat of paint over it to come to the Lord's house. Because the reality of it, this is the Bible, for we are all cracked and have come short of the kingdom of God. We have all sinned and we have all failed. And the biggest mistake anybody makes to think that when you get around God's people, you got to put on a a different type of personality, and you got to act like you're something that you're not, and you got to put a coat of paint over all the cracks in your life. No, you know what we are? We're people who've kneeled at the cross, and the blood of Jesus came, and we didn't only have our cracks covered with wax and paint, we had our cracks healed by the mercy and the blood of Jesus, and He has made us whole. So when you're building your life around the kingdom of God, you meet some of the most sincere friends that you could ever want to meet. Where do you want to build your friends? You want to go to a bar to meet your friends? Okay. You may meet some neat friends at the bar, but you want to live there forever? Why not having a common treasure that's going to take you into eternity and build you a great life right now? Called the kingdom of God. Here's another group of people that was kind of intriguing while I was like digging on the treasure. I looked over at this couple of guys over here, and they were in a tuxedo on bended knee, digging in the dirt. And I looked over here, and there's this girl like with a bouquet right in her hand, and she had this beautiful bridesmaid dress. And Jesus said the kingdom of God is like the guest of the bridegroom. And I'm looking, hey, you guys, why are y'all digging in your tuxes? And they say, oh, we're just wedding guests. And here's a source of great friends that you'll find in the kingdom like no one else. John's disciples over in Matthew chapter 9, verse 14, came up to Jesus. And they said, what's going on here? We don't know what's taking place here. We have to fast. John the Baptist made us fast. The Pharisees' disciples, they fast. But all the people hanging around you, they're just having a good time all the time, and they're laughing, and they're not fasting. They haven't missed one meal hanging around you. And Jesus said this, there's a season to fast, but when the groom is near you, it is time to celebrate. It is time to celebrate. And the greatest friends that you'll ever meet are really plenteous around the kingdom of God, because those are people that live with the tuxedo and the maid of honor's dress on, not because they're like in a formal situation all their life, but they live with this perpetual desire to celebrate somebody else. One of the greatest attributes of being a friend and having a friend is finding someone that will celebrate with you. Celebrate. You have a big event, and they bust their schedule to try to be there. You remember those people. There's some people that you get around, and when something good comes to your world, which is not enough, they have that way of bringing you down to size, bringing you down to reality. And then there's other people that just come and they have a way. It's almost like they have an eye, and they're just looking for every good little thing that ever happens to you. And when something happens good to you, it's like they're broadcasting it. They're telling it back to you. They're celebrating it. You know why I love the kingdom of God? It's because all of us know that Jesus is the bridegroom and we're His guest at this great wedding. Yes, we're the bride in one sense, but we're the wedding guest. And all that we have and we enjoy is because of His goodness and what He's done for us. And we're constantly celebrating just being near Him and in His presence. I tell you, if you would take a look in the mirror and ask yourself, you know what, I don't have as many friends as I really want. Where are you on your friend radar? Well, let me ask you this. Are you the person that is always looking to celebrate even small events that take place in the people around you? I want to tell you something. I've learned this, and I love it. I try to live, and I'm not perfect at it, but I love it. I'll be honest with you. If something good happens to you and I find out about it, I'm going to let you know about it. And I found out when I do that, I'm welcome more often. Especially if you're not a very good golfer. Listen, I'm preaching right now. If you're not a very good golfer like me, and I'm not, I'm terrible. If you can't play and you can't add to the foursome score, you better find a way to celebrate when everybody else makes a good shot. Because if you can't do that, there's no need to have you around. Come on, say amen right now. Pastor Dave invited me and Brett and another brother to a golf outing. It was by Pastor Dave's invitation. I hadn't made a putt all day. Brett was killing the ball, but he hadn't made a putt all day. No one had made a putt, and it was important to make a putt. Very important, because there was prizes at the end of the day. Got late in the round, no one had made a putt. We were out of the running. Pastor Dave got over the ball, read it, and I watched it as it went over this hill and down this valley and made a right, then back to a left, and went into the cup. And Pastor Dave, kind of just with all humility, walked off the green. Brett didn't say a thing. Pastor Keith didn't say a word. And I'm sitting there as the wedding guest. And I looked at these three stoic guys and I said, have we lost the shout in Pentecost? Something happened great. Somebody get excited. And Pastor Dave, he's thinking, I'm glad somebody noticed what a fabulous putt that was. Now, I want to tell you, when you're building the kingdom and you look at other people and they're digging it with their tuxedos on and they're digging it with their maid of honor gown on, and they're there and they're saying, I live to celebrate you. I'm here to build you up. I want to tell you, some of you are in a cubicle next to people making big deals. And when you walk across the hall and celebrate their blessing and their prosperity and what they've done, you've just shown the beauty of the kingdom reflected right out of your attitude, because kingdom people celebrate with those around them. Gail and I were in our 30s, and we'd been on the evangelistic field for 16 years, and we were going to plant a church. And So when we were home in Arkansas, which was rarely, the news would go off, and then right after the news would go off, the show would come on, and Gayla has the gift of music, and she'll just pick up tunes, and I would go to sleep every night after the sports was going off with Gayla singing, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Help me up. Do, 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 do. And you're all, come on, help me out. Act like you're from the 90s too. Come on. And you always glad they came. Do, 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 do. You want to go where you can know. Troubles are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name. You'll never hear me sing on stage again. So night after night after night, I'd hear that, and then she'd turn the show off, and we'd go to bed, start the day the next day. So we started thinking, when we moved to Birmingham, we bought some airtime, and Gayla says, what are you going to do with the airtime? I said, I'm going to tell Birmingham we're starting a new church, and I'm going to start it with that song. It's a barroom song. And we did. We bought some time and we put chairs, song. And we invited people to come to a church that was starting off with a bar theme. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and you're just glad all the troubles. Kind of sounds sincere and genuine, doesn't it? My phone started ringing off the hook. These Christians started, is this the pastor that's starting a new church
with the bar theme as their theme for the song? I said, yes, sir, I guess so. Why would you want to be associated with a bar and all the darkness that goes on with a bar? And I said, well, sir, I just wanted to do that because I don't think a bar is the greatest place and the best place to make genuine friends. I think it ought to be at a church where everybody can come and just lay their troubles at the foot of the cross, and everybody can just come as they way they are and get to know one another and build relationships and build friends. So I don't want to forfeit friendship making to the local tavern. I want it to be among the community of believers, and that's why we start with that song. And he says, oh, okay. What time does service start? And he came and met some of the most genuine, wonderful friends he ever met. So when you dig the kingdom, you do it for his glory, but you meet these wonderful people. You meet people who are willing to be authentic because they know they're only there by the grace of God anyway. You meet people who live to celebrate and sing the praise of Jesus and describe and celebrate and be joyful with you. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. And that's what type of friends you're being. People that are excited for the good things. But there's somebody else you meet when you're digging the treasure. They don't have a tape measure and a magnifying glass like the merchant. And they don't have a tux on, but you look at them, and man, you look at their face and kind of got, well, you look at them and you go, ooh, you've been here a while. They kind of look weathered. It's like their skin's all cracked because of being out in the sun, and you can tell they've gone through a storm or two. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is filled with people who are wise builders. Wise builders. They're the people that you meet when you're digging up the things of the kingdom. And you meet them and you see, man, they've gone through some stuff and they've been a wise builder because they built their world on something solid. Something that it can endure. Look what the scripture says in Matthew chapter 7. It says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine, they're like the wise man who put my words into practice. And time came, and troubles passed, and typhoons hit them, and waves of rain hit them, and they stood strong through the time because they weren't built on the superficial. They were wise builders, and they build their life on that which is forever and eternal and foundational and deep. It's called the wisdom of God, His Word. And that's so what's so awesome. That when you're seeking first the kingdom, you might just be 15 like I was, but beside you is someone in their 70s or someone in their 50s or someone in their 40s, and you look at them, and they're a little bit more weathered than you, and they've gone through more storms than you, and they've been hit with life more than you, but you know what? They're there to be real with you, and they're there to celebrate with you, and they're there to build life with you. And when you can parasite off their wisdom, when you can know them and have ears to let them impart into you what they've learned through walking with God, you are light years ahead in building a fabulous life because they've already endured decades that you're yet to see. But the wisdom that endured is right there to be given to you. It is awesome. Proverbs says this. It says, young people, young adults, make sure you look around your circle of friends and see that you've got someone a decade older than you, 2 decades older than you, 3 decades older than you. Got those? Who are they? Number one. Who's that person? Taylor, I love you so much. I love you so much. Y'all, I'm going to have to stop right now. But this is a big day for me because when we pastored in Birmingham and Daly was a missionette, and we'd go to church on Wednesday night. There was a young girl that was Daly's friend in the back of the neighborhood named Taylor. And every Wednesday night, we stopped and we went to get Taylor. And she was a part of our Wednesday night family. And she went to the youth and the children's ministry. And Taylor is here today worshiping after all these years. She's a mom, and you're just so beautiful. And you need a friend 10 years older than you, 20 years older than you. You need some friends younger than you if you've got some years on you, because these kids got a great life ahead. Listen to this verse in Proverbs. Walk with the wise, and you'll become wise. But if you only run with people who are fools, you're going to have a lot more pain than what you need. I just love so much having Brett up here today. And I know he was like, Brett was up here saying, hey, come on, church, let's pray. Did you hear him pray? Now, you don't know Brett. But it meant so much to hear him up here with this guitar. He's never led here. And he was praying. He opened the service up in prayer. And you know why I loved it? Because I knew how sincere it was. Because when he was 14 years of age, we would have a Saturday night prayer meeting. Pastor Dave and Cindy worked with me. And as a 13 and 14-year-old kid, his Saturday night was at prayer. He didn't just wait till he got to be an adult to come over here and pray in front of everybody. As a 14-year-old kid, he was spending his Saturday nights praying. And kids began to come because they could hang around Brett and Brianna and then go have pizza with them. And I mean, we built the most powerful teenage prayer force in Birmingham, Alabama, because that kid right there was sincerely in love with Jesus, and he had found a treasure that was amazing as a teenager. Somebody get happy with me what God can do in somebody's life. One day when Brett was 13 or 14, he was smart enough to hang around me for the day. And I was smart enough to hire him because I needed some shrubs cleaned up, some yard work, and I didn't want to do it all by myself. And so we're out here working on the shrubs, and he's hanging around me. Of course, I'm paying him a little bit, not much. This is what happens when you have kingdom-building friends that are older than you that have wisdom. We're cleaning up this crepe myrtle tree. And I look at Brett. He's got his whole life ahead of him. He's 14. I say, Brett, just remember what I'm about to tell you. Do you have people in your life that pours wisdom into you? Just remember this. I said, whatever you do, son, don't marry a crepe myrtle woman. And we're snapping that crepe myrtle. And Brad looked at me and says, yes, sir, Pastor Danny, I remember that. Don't marry a crepe myrtle woman. We kept working. 5 minutes later, he walked up to me and said, Pastor Danny, would you explain to me what a crepe myrtle woman is? I said, sure. Crepe myrtle woman is just like this crepe myrtle tree. It's pretty for just a little while and high maintenance the rest of the year. You need people older than you. Later on, he said, Pastor, are there any more trees that I need to know about? That's sweet. You know what's really sweet? It's years later when I go back to speak at Chapel Hill, and his prayer life had created a business for him that is unbelievable. That when millennials go on their phone and look for a church and it says the church at Chapel Hill and they stream in here, it's because of his marketing genius and what he's done as a professional, and how, and what's so beautiful is to see what the kingdom of God does in a young man that'll pray on a Saturday night and make Jesus priority in his life. Yeah, I go back to speak at Chapel Hill, and you know what? He comes up to me as an adult. He says, Pastor Danny, I never forgot what you told me about not marrying a crepe myrtle woman. And I want you to meet Elisa right now. Elisa, would you please stand up right now? I want this is Brett's wife and their five sons. It's the treasure. It's the treasure of the kingdom of God. So when you put your hands to the treasure and you spend face time with people and you share a common table, you meet the greatest friends you could ever meet. And it's the benefit that we skip about seeking first the kingdom of God. Right here at Chapel Hill, do you know what we do? We do everything we can to give you face time with other kingdom seekers. Our student ministry is for young people to go and find other students that have that desire to make God's kingdom number one. And when you come, you may look around the room and may not see a lot of people that are just like you, but I want to tell you, as you get the kingdom more focused in you and them, your love and your friendship for each other starts growing. Our small groups that the devil fights because he doesn't want you to have face time with other people with godly value. This city is so big, but it's so lonely. And our small groups are there for you to come. And at first, it's awkward. At first, you don't know if you want to invest the time. And all of a sudden, you go, oh, here's some people here that are real. Here's some people that celebrate good things. There's some people here that are wise. Our growth track is a place where we can come when you're new and you kind of find what the next step is. And then servant opportunities where we come and we get on the same team. And you know what? Life comes and life goes, and you look at what you've done with your days. And you look through the months. And you go, the best thing that's happened to me on my calendar was serving the King of the Kingdom with other people that I met on my right and on my left. Serving. Gail and I and Dale are in this room today for one reason. Because when we were 28 years old, we spoke at a youth camp in Indiana. We were the camp evangelists for 3 weeks. And while we were there, I met one of my best friends for life, and Kayla's best friends for life. A couple who were young with 3 babies named Dave and Cindy Devine. Gail and I were the camp evangelists, and I'd preach and she'd sing. Dave and Cindy were the administrators and running the vision. And while I was trying to tell kids in Indiana, seek first the kingdom. Because when you do it, everything will open up for you, man. Beside me was my future best friend, Dave Devine, working harder than me with Cindy there. And I looked to my right and I found a guy who was real. A guy that would celebrate little things in my life. And found a man that was building his life on a foundation that was rock solid. So when I reached for the kingdom, I got more than shiny gold. I got some of the best friends a person could ever find. And that's why when you reach for the treasure, you'll find your identity. You'll find hope. You'll find passion. You'll find life eternal. But besides that, you'll find the treasure of awesome friends. Take it from me. Take it from me. Close your eyes. If you're here right now and you say, I've been going the wrong direction. I'm not where I need to be spiritually. Some of it is because of just carelessness in my own life, but some of it is because I've got some friends in my life that are kind of pulling me that way. And I want to tell you something. I love those friends of yours that pull you the wrong way. I care about them. So does Jesus. Today, we're not asking you to put on a coat of paint and act Christian, and we're not asking you to fill the cracks of your life with some wax and some superficial, artificial, spiritual paint. No. But today, the gospel is this. If you're cracked and you're broken and you don't want to put on a show, you just need the healing and the forgiveness of Jesus, just like you are. And you want to be forgiven. You're away from the Lord right now, and you want to come back to the Lord, or you want to meet the Lord. I want waiting longer. But if that's you, I want you to humble yourself right now at the count of three, and you say this, Pastor, I'm cracked, and I don't want to put on a show. I want Jesus to forgive me. I'm going to ask you at the count of three to raise your hand and let the mercy of the Lord touch your life. Are you ready? One, two, three. Just raise your hand right now. Thank you. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for your obedience. Now, let's pray this prayer. Everyone verbally out loud with me. Pray this prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for showing us a true friend in Jesus that would sacrifice so much for us to be forgiven. I don't want to fake it. I don't want a coat of paint. I want to be real. I want to be genuine. But there's sin in my life. Forgive me and make me whole by the power of God's grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.